The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. A quorum is present. Representative Zalesnikar, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Thank you, Chair. I've reviewed the minutes. So moved.
Representative Zalesnikar moves the minutes from April 29, 2025. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. Next item of business is the calendar for the day. We're proposing calendaring two bills for the calendar for Friday, May 2nd, 2025, House File 2433, Joaquim, and Senate File 1740, House Author Jordan. I move the adoption of the calendar for the day pursuant to Rule 1.21 and 3.33. The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will designate Friday, May 2nd, for the adoption of the calendar for the day and adopt and establish a pre-filing requirement for amendments offered to these bills. Any discussion? Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We spoke about this proposal yesterday and this morning, and we don't have an agreement on the calendar for the day. As we discussed, we are still in a negotiation process to determine whether we can move forward with the education, finance, and budget bill this week. And we made proposals to do that, but those were not accepted. So we're still working through negotiations on this. So at this time, we're not prepared to accept this calendar for the day, and we'd ask for a roll call vote.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Further discussion, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm confused. We were in Ways and Means yesterday, and the bill was voted out, and it was presented by the author as a compromise. And it was not at the time, there was no motion to table it. There was no motion to not move it out of committee. Chair Joaquim was there and admitted that it was a negotiated bill that was, I believe it went to leadership. So Representative Long, you probably would have been a part of that. I'm just really confused as to how we find ourselves here today trying to disagree with a bill that was agreed upon and then votes were put up to move it out of committee. I've been on Ways and Means and Rules for a long time. I have never seen this before. This is deeply confusing.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm confused by it too. I also said on Ways and Means, and I mean there were some folks on the Democrat side that expressed some concerns, but the bill did pass out of Ways and Means. I'm not sure what happened overnight. I don't know if this is just the DFL's way of obstructing the end of session. I don't know how many days we have left here before the end of session, but certainly we're getting down to the wire. And having the late start that we did with 23 days late start, session started on January 14th. The Democrats decided not to show up until February 6th. And now we find ourselves in this situation where we need to get an education bill off the floor and head into negotiations with the Senate and Conference Committee. So this is gravely concerning and gravely disappointing. And I hope that they won't obstruct the end of session.
Mr. Chair, if you would. Thank you.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Being on Ways, I know that it was not a unanimous vote, and there was lots of concerns from our caucus, and so that is where we are, and we'd like to address those concerns.
Thank you, Representative Cagle. Obviously, there have been a lot of bills that we've calendared that have not been unanimous votes on the floor. Representative Nash.
Sorry to go again, Mr. Chair, but so this is a strange place, and we all know that, but When there is an agreement that has been made and your yes is given, that's where we are. The agreement was made between the two chairs that this was what was going to be in the bill. And the bill came out of committee. There was no call for division. There was no roll call that was asked for yesterday. The bill passed. Nobody, after the gavel fell, that would have been procedurally the time to ask for division. There was no request for division, so it passed out. And when we do bills together in this situation like that, when the chairs agree on the situation that we have, to me, that's the deal that we made. And it's time to live up to the deal.
Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's really interesting, and I mean that in the most Minnesotan way, to talk about when there is an agreement that is made, that it should be honored. Since the beginning of session was brought up, there's an agreement that we all make with the people of Minnesota when we take an oath to the Constitution, and it was not our side that broke that oath within minutes by storming the pedestal and trying to have a legislative coup. There was an agreement that was made between the leaders of our caucuses on the rules. And that includes amendments that are germane or not. So that's another agreement that was broken by Republicans. So it would be almost comical if it wasn't so sad to see agreements being broken by the Republican Party and then trying to play the victim the whole time. So we as Democrats are going to stand up for workers. We are going to stand up for Minnesotans to make sure the best bills that get passed off the floor of the House are going to be the best that they can be. And this bill is not that. So we are taking a stand to improve the bill before it gets to the floor by honoring our agreement to the people of Minnesota.
Thank you. Representative Engen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only legislative coup that I'm really understanding that's occurring right now seems to be occurring within the DFL caucus room. Does the far left hand not know what the left hand is doing right now? I'm really confused as to why we are rescinding this agreement that was made in good faith amongst both chairs, that we had heard in committee in education this past week, that passed out of Ways and Means, and now we're being told that we're the issue over a fight that's occurring within your own caucus room. Could you please elaborate and tell me why somehow we're obstructing when it seems as if it's you guys?
Thank you, Representative Engen. Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to underscore why UI for hourly school workers, which, like, elephant in the room, that's what we're all talking about, is so important. Because it's, and from our perspective, it's good for kids. Having UI has made a tremendous amount of retention in paraprofessionals and bus drivers and our hourly school workers. And that means that there's kids who are in school who have a more experienced paraprofessional who's keeping them safer on the bus, is helping their education outcomes, and has expertise on which kid needs which support in schools. And that's something that's incredibly valuable for our students. And this is also something that's good for workers. We're talking about 60,000 impacted workers in Minnesota that over 20,000 Minnesota workers in every corner of the state have used. And it's fair and what's right. These are the only workers in our state that are preempted from being able to utilize hourly, these hourly school workers are the only workers in our state who are preempted from UI. The only other ones are people in management, people like us, legislators, people in the Army. And so this is something that's important for these working class workers that are in all of our districts. This is existing law. It's good for kids. It's good for workers. I think it's a big reason why we need to continue to work on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Representative Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, fundamentally, the first priority has to be passing a budget, and that's going to require that we work together. That isn't my quote. That's Chair Niska's quote. And our priority does have to be to pass the budget. And to the question about how are we going to get to the finish line, or how are we going to be, who's the obstacle to passing a state budget? The obstacle is Republicans insisting on extreme policy that harms workers. The provision in question to take away unemployment insurance for paraprofessionals, for our school bus drivers, for workers making $17 an hour is not necessary to pass our state budget, our duty to pass our two-year budget. It's a policy objective from the Republican Party, from the Republican House, amongst many, that aims to confuse what our job, what Chair Niska said, is our first priority to pass a state budget. I have no doubt that together, if we were to check policy at the door, we could agree to a state budget and we could be out of here on May 19th. But I do fear that we have an extreme Republican caucus that is going to need to insist on these extreme things to be able to marshal the support to work together. Our job is to pass a state budget. We absolutely have the power to do that work together, and the way to do it is to actually focus on passing the state budget.
Thank you, Representative Howard. The issue before us today is whether to calendar a budget bill so we can pass a state budget. Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to respond to Representative Engen's question because, you know, far left reporting for duty. And I can tell you that our caucus is not a dictatorship. There may be agreements that are made that when are then brought to the caucus are no longer agreed to. And I think your side can understand that from what I've heard. Sometimes there are folks who bring something to the caucus and it's not agreed upon by people. And I think that's actually part of what makes our democracy great. We each represent our 40,000 plus individuals and we represent their interests. And that means that I have a duty to vote in the way that is necessary for my people in my district. And I think that Minnesotans sent us here to do that and to represent the entirety of Minnesota in that way. And so I'm really hopeful that we can continue coming to the table and get to a yes on this bill, but that's going to require both sides to come together and to continue negotiations. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. Both sides did come together in negotiations. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let's all remember here that we're working with or under the premise that we're on the precipice of a $6 billion budget deficit. Okay. And 2 years ago, when the unemployment for hourly school workers was passed, there was money from the state provided to local school districts. But if there's anything that I've heard, it's that Minnesotans are very concerned about the cost of living. And frankly, if we read the newspapers in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and I'm going to especially highlight St. Paul, you have property taxpayers amidst the left and the far left that are concerned with property taxes. And what's going to happen when the state isn't providing support for people, for school districts, I should say, when we have hourly school workers getting unemployment during the summer when there are jobs available for them to fill? The answer is that people are going to see property taxes rise. Like, that's the answer here when the state doesn't have the money. Oh, by the way, for my friends across the aisle, we don't have the money. We don't have the money. So we have to make tough decisions. And in this instance, we're talking about whether or not people should be paid not to work when there are jobs available to do. That's what we are talking about right now. And so let's be very clear that this is a time when you, on the other side of the aisle, are trying to use giving people more money not to work from our state coffers when we have a $6 billion budget deficit. So this is about calendaring a bill to provide for a budget to ensure that we are taking a path towards making sure that our budget is balanced. And this ongoing priority that you on the left seem to have to provide payment for people who are not working is going to cost property taxpayers in our state significantly in years to come. So if you're trying to take from some to give to another group and trying to take from those who are working and give to those who are not, and that is going to be what you make as the determining factor as to whether or not we get done on time when we have 2.5 weeks to go, we'll see you there.
Thank you, Representative Schultz. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm hearing then Representative Schultz say that we should also then kick construction workers then off of unemployment because there's other jobs that they might be able to do. There's lots of employees that are seasonal that we give unemployment to. Why are we picking and choosing who gets it? All people deserve to have benefits, to have that guarantee. And these are about our kids. I know my bus driver's name. Miss Cheryl, she fell and broke her spine, and we have a new bus driver now that's bringing us tomato plants. I want that consistency for my kid. I want the bus driver to know my daughter and know if she's having a good day or a bad day, to know if the right person is picking her up, getting her off the bus. Let's be real.
We don't want to pick and choose the winners and losers. We want to make sure that everybody gets a hand up.
Thank you, Representative Cagle. Representative Engen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that impassioned speech, Representative Cagle, but it sounds to me like that doesn't need to be said to us. It needs to be said to members within your own caucus, because this is a high point of contention within your own caucus. So I would just remind that. Thank you.
Representative Scott.
I'm concerned with many of the concerns that Representative Schultz brought, that this UI benefit that was given for the first time after decades, that people, we talked about this in Ways and Means yesterday, those summer employee or those people that signed up for the job knowing that they would only be working 9 months out of the year, those are the same people that many of the districts have employment for them in the summer. Some of them are bus drivers in the summer. Some of them work to get our kids caught up from all the lost learning from the shutdown during COVID. And my concern is, yes, there was money this last time for our school districts, but because of the fact that that money's not going to exist into the future, along with the 65 plus mandates that you placed on our school districts over the last 2 years when you had the trifecta, what other mandates then, if you're gonna stick that one back in, what other mandates are you gonna whirl back so our school districts don't continue to be in a deficit position where they're going to have to pass that down to the property taxpayers? What is your solution? I am waiting with bated breath to hear it, because the Education Committee mulled all of these mandates over, and this is what your party agreed to and came up with as being one that they could roll back. So I can't wait. If we're going to not pass this agenda, the calendar for the day, out of this committee today, I look forward to what your solution is so that our school districts don't continue to be in deficit. And I see a lot of smirks over there. And let's just wait and see. Let's just wait and see, people.
Thank you, Representative Scott. Representative Howard.
Members, and I think this is really instructive. Folks on the other side of the aisle are really saying the quiet part out loud. You don't like that this caucus stood up for working families last session. You don't like that we made sure that our paraprofessionals, our school bus drivers, the people that care for our kids are able to get insurance. You don't like that we provided paid family and medical leave so that our working families. You don't like that. You want to go back and relitigate what happened in 2023. But our job is to balance this budget. And it's a matter of fact that the provision that you all don't like is not a line item to balance our state education budget. Representative Scott, to your question, we can pass an education budget that meets our target, that invests in our kids, invests in our schools, provides significant resources to address the needs of our schools. That's what's in the budget target that we negotiated together. The challenge is you all want to stick it to working people. And that's what we are standing up for. We can pass an education budget tomorrow. All you have to do is look forward instead of look backwards.
Co-Chair Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So there have been a lot of pretty offensive statements made about the individuals that the unemployment insurance is trying to protect. These are individuals who are our bus drivers, who are education support professionals, who work in our schools, who work with our kids. And they are seasonal workers, just like any other seasonal worker, just like construction workers. They also deserve to have the ability to have their time when they are not working covered, as construction workers do, as other workers do. Oftentimes, there are not jobs for them in the summer. Oftentimes, there are not slots enough. Oftentimes, there are not jobs they can find. And do we really want a workforce that is turning over frequently, that is low skilled for these positions? We don't. That's not what the public is telling us. It's not what parents are telling us in the district. That's not what the workers are saying they need. The demand to put this provision in the bill was not a Democratic demand. That was a demand from your side of the aisle. It is not related to the budget. It is not related to the budget window. The provision that was in the proposal was for 2029. That is outside of the budget window. We made proposals that would have allowed the bill to be up on Friday, and they were rejected. We're still in negotiations. But Representative Schultz did say the quiet part out loud, which is that at the end of session, apparently, you all are willing to shut down the government over extraneous policy provisions rather than fund the government. That is not our position on our side. We are here and ready to fund the government and do the work that we need to get budget deals. And if extraneous policy provisions and demands are set aside, we would be able to do that today. We would be able to just calendar this bill for Friday. But that is not what we are hearing. We are hearing policy demands that are not needed to fund the government. We are here to fund the government. We are ready to work. We're ready to get back to the table as soon as you are. You knew ahead of time that this was not something we agreed to. So we're here today because you wanted to put on a show about the bill for Friday. So here we are having a conversation in public, which we are welcome to do because we are here to stand up for workers every single day. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Co-Chair Long. Members, the Democrats claimed to have fully funded education last session when we had an $18 billion surplus. But if you talk to any of your school districts, they will tell you that they are in a worse fiscal position after the Democrats supposedly fully funded education than they were before. And the reason they are is because of the mandates that the Democrats put on, and the Education Committee has continuously worked on trying to figure out how to remedy that financial problem that the state government, the Democrat trifecta, put our school districts in. This was the negotiated way to get out of that box. We need to move forward on funding education. We need to move forward on getting a budget. Whether or not we are going to change this on the floor is a matter for the debate on the floor. But right now, the question before us is about calendaring the finance committee or the finance bill on the floor for Friday. We should go forward and do that. I renew my motion to for the adoption of the calendar for the day. There's a roll call requested. The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Co-Chair Long?
No.
Vice Chair Engen?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hollins?
No.
Representative Coulter?
Absolutely not.
Representative Frederick?
No.
Representative Howard?
No.
Representative Jacob?
Aye.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Cagle?
No.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative Purcell?
Purcell, no.
Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Steer?
Aye.
Representative Zelizikar?
Aye.
There being 8 ayes and 8 noes, the motion does not prevail and the calendar is not adopted. That concludes our agenda for today. The meeting is adjourned.